Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
Brann and Company is one of Sri Lanka's oldest diversified conglomerates. At the close of the sale, Brann's plantations, 32,725 hectares under tea, will increase to 220,000 acres, about 89,000 hectares worldwide. In May 2023, Brann's acquired 10 of James Finlay's tea estates, spanning 10,300 hectares. The latest acquisition adds 11 more Kenyan tea plantations, 8 tea factories in western Kenya, and all of Lipton's Rwanda and Tanzania tea estates. Quote, "Brann's is the perfect partner to work with us to raise standards in the whole tea industry together. We are setting a new precedent for transforming the global tea market," end quote, said Roos. "Brann's has 2 years to meet Lipton's environmental, social, and governance standards." Pradeep was named executive chairman in November 2021. He earned a doctorate in management and business studies from the University of Colombo and holds a law degree. He has more than 20 years of experience in human resource management, human resource development, and legal and corporate affairs. To begin our conversation, will you share your thoughts on improving tea quality at an unprecedented scale?
Of course, the tea market has grown. If you take the statistics, last 10 to 15 years, the consumption has gone up. Of course, the potential producers, they would have seen that as an opportunity to get into the market. And unfortunately, the supply has surpassed the demand, which has come to a sort of a standstill in certain markets, if you take Kenya as an example. So they are producing much more than the anticipated quantities. So then, of course, the price is going to play a bigger role in, okay, now, of course, in terms of quality, still Sri Lankan teas are getting far better prices because of the taste of Ceylon tea. But in Kenya, the COP was the main thing that they had to market. They are producing their tea at a much lower price compared to traditional markets like Sri Lanka. What has happened to the Sri Lankan market is they had to compete with the newly emerging markets like Kenya, and they were looking at various methods to keep their the cost of production low. So as a result, there were certain compromises that they had made on the quality. The industry has got so commercialized, right? Commercializing is fine, but to the extent of compromising with the quality to keep their market share. I think even in Kenya, of course, to keep their COP low, they had to introduce mechanization and various other automation, which has resulted in a drastic drop in their quality. On the other hand, without automation, if you look at the massive fields, of course, you can't rely on the manual labor. You have to do the mechanization. But with the mechanization, I don't know. What I believe is we have not paid enough attention to the quality element. If you take other industries, there have been so many innovation and creativity crept into the system. But unfortunately, in the tea industry, I don't know whether we have invested enough for R&D and various kind of innovation that we can bring in. Now, if you take the Sri Lankan industry, the manufacturing method has hardly changed. If you look at the 150-year-old history, we can't find any alternate producing methods to keep the quality high. And what are the other alternatives that we can bring into the whole thinking pattern is something I think is missing.
What are the main strategies to ensure quality from your vantage?
One is definitely weather conditions, right? And the soil conditions. And one thing that we have realized, now if you take Kenya as an example, in our former Finlay's plantations, we have about 650 hectares of organic tea. When you try that tea, you feel the difference. There's a nice taste. But unfortunately, whether the end buyer is willing to pay that premium price is a problem. Of course, if you take the productivity, YPH, we average, we make about 4,500 metri per hectare. In our, the overall figure is that, 4,500. But when it comes to organic tea, it comes down to 2,500.
Consumers will pay a 15 to 20% premium for certified organic products, not 50%. Browns is no longer a single origin tea supplier. You're now producing multiple teas from several different tea growing regions, mainly for blending. The Kenya farms are troubling just now as they consistently harvest larger and larger quantities, leading to a surplus that some estimate as high as 20 million kilos. The fundamental choice then is quality over quantity. Are you willing as a company to make that choice to reduce the surplus?
Yeah, actually, that is the way forward. Even as a company, a couple of months back, when I was in Kenya, we had multiple discussions with our management team, how to bring down the volume and focus on the quality. The one thing is because of the higher prices for Ceylon tea, now some of the traditional Sri Lankan tea buyers are now making queries whether they can buy quality Kenyan tea at a cheaper price, right? So the biggest concern they have is the quality of the Kenyan tea. I think mechanization has like brought in, as I mentioned earlier, numerous benefits for the whole system, but the biggest issue is the quality element. In fact, now we are using some of the Japanese machines, the harvesters. We had a couple of discussions with those producers to improve it further, to see how we can maintain the consistency of the quality of the leaf that we harvest through the system. They're quite optimistic.
During the riots last year, Kenyan workers sabotaged mechanical harvesters. Has that resistance quieted?
Not everywhere. Like wherever that you can bring in automation, I think especially in the Kenya, as an example, they have massive fields. There are areas that you need to mechanize, right? But there are certain key areas where the human intervention is required. Like, as an example, the field practices, no matter how much you deploy machinery, ultimately the human intervention is one of the critical factors in the whole system. The other important thing is the mechanization, of course, to a level of not compromising that with the quality, as we discussed earlier. And apart from that, how you can bring in R&D element into the picture. So if you take Kenya as an example, we have a super research and development team. They continuously do research on the quality element, new cultivars, the new type of products. So likewise, I think you can't have an extreme kind of viewpoint on the automation.
The Sri Lankan government recently mandated a significant wage increase for laborers, partly to help overcome punishing inflation levels. Planners complained that the additional expense would make exports less competitive and that the increased wages are not linked to improved productivity.
I don't know, Dan, whether you're aware of our revenue share model. So what happens is now in traditionally, especially in Sri Lanka, this particular industry is politically sensitive. There are like the trade unions, which are closely connected with the government, and they obviously pressurize government to increase wages, which has to happen over a period of time because of, like, even for those people, they need to maintain a minimum standard of living. What has happened is, even though the wage has kept on hiking, the productivity element has completely forgotten. That has been the biggest issue. Now, a couple of years back, we came up with the revenue share model where we wanted all these workers to become entrepreneurs on themselves. They were given small plots like 1 hectare, some half a hectare, some 1.5 hectare, and they were supposed to look after those bushes. We give them ingredients and we purchase their leaf. And now we have brought in a quality element as well. So there should be 65 to 70% of quality that they need to maintain. What has happened is, now even though the daily wage is 1,000 rupees, now that has gone up to 1,350 rupees, some people like, okay, the maximum potential is to earn about 30,000. But there are certain people, they are earning about 100,000, 150,000 per month. Now, they don't want it. Now, only thing what has happened is, now when they move out from the formal employment, they don't want to become a member of the trade union. Now, those trade union guys, they are a little worried because they don't get the subscription. To be very frank, they have not done anything to improve their life standard. But now these people, they don't want to become a traditional worker, but they want to, only thing, sometimes they have entire family works. There are multiple things that we have introduced. We have a recognized program. The best revenue share owner, they have been recognized, they have been rewarded. And sometimes we get them and we impart them with technical knowledge, mm-hmm. how to improve their productivity, all those trainings, everything is done. And monthly, we select the best revenue firm, that just to encourage the others. And now that, like, all this time, it was 25% of the people, they got over and above the average wage. But now that figure is gradually increasing, which is a very good sign. So this is one of the methods that they use in the field to check the quality. So they have this canvas, they have like put different kind of types, and they get a sample from the harvester and they just spread it out.
Your plan depends on a certain amount of Kenyan and other African teas coming to Sri Lanka, right? How much are you bringing in?
We have no intention of getting to the shelf. Like, we want to remain as the mass producer. Currently, there are multiple queries that we have got from our Sri Lankan buyers. Currently, they are bringing in, I think, quite a significant amount of Kenyan tea to Sri Lanka. Now, they have approached us and asked us whether they can have some kind of understanding. Of course, we are willing to work with them. Currently, they have, like, some of the large buyers, they are bringing 50, 60 containers per annum, the Kenyan tea, purely for blending purposes. Of course, as a producer, we don't have any intention of bringing Kenyan tea and do blending in Sri Lanka. For Kenyan tea, we need to look at a couple of partnerships with Sri Lankan buyers who are currently getting quite a significant number of Kenyan tea to Sri Lanka. So we are discussing with them, and we can provide them the required quantities time to come.
Recently, the head of the Supreme Court in Kenya authorized a 3-judge panel to hear an appeal that could potentially upend the sale of the Lipton properties by recognizing land rights for local tribes. Will you share your thoughts on that development?
I think now, even the regulators, they have cleared the deal. So everything was quite transparent, and the discussions were done with all the relevant parties, even the community leaders were met. I think there are certain segments who had certain ulterior motives that they want to accomplish through the deal. They failed, and I think that there's a small fraction. Actually, we know there are certain individuals who are little keen to take the ownership of the property, but they couldn't materialize it. I think that's the whole thing. Of course, they have all the rights to get into the judicial process and lobby their case. But we are quite optimistic that this is going to go ahead.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
At the UPS store, we understand the importance of a first impression. That's why we're here to help you put your best foot forward and be unstoppable with our printing services. With high-quality paper stock options, banners, business cards, menus, and more, we make sure your small business stands out and your message reaches the masses. After all, we're the one-stop prints that pop store. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today and get your print on.